is we left off yesterday pointing out a basic fundamental contradiction between the beginning of the sugya and the end of the sugya, vis-a-vis the issue of whether yesh yerusha b'knas or not. So we don't really know what the issue is, but we're not sure what the lumdus is. It's just in terms of reading the Gemara, we have half the sugya was assuming that yesh yerusha b'knas, and the other half of the sugya was assuming that any yerusha b'knas. When it started out, the Gemara says the possibility of the b'nahave, that means the knas goes to the girl, and then it goes directly to the son, assuming the son exists, so that's indication that yesh yerusha b'knas. Whereas at the end of the sugya, the Gemara says, al etzad, that bagris kicks in, so then papa knas, and then the whole knas disappears, and it does not go yerusha back to the father. That indicated ain't yerusha b'knas. We saw the five rahalchim in the Rishonim yesterday, from the Taizim to the Raiva to the Rambans to the Ri to the Balamoy, everybody had what to say about this time. There was one last mahalach that we have to give that doesn't appear in the Rishonim, and if anything, the Rishonim actually negate this mahalach, but we're going to present it anyway as a logical possibility, and then try to understand why we should say Yeshu Yeshu Kras, why we should say Yeshu Kras. So this is suggested by Rabbi Chanan, and it's really picking up on what the Ramban ultimately rejected yesterday. If you look carefully at the Gemara, the two cases of what the Gemara is addressing, where the Yesh or Ein Yerusha B'Knas, the case of Yesh Yerusha B'Knas, where is it going from? Where is the Yerusha going from? From the Bas to where? To the Bein, right? To her son. Okay? That's the Yerusha that the Gemara is entertaining. When the Gemara says Ein Yerusha, the Gemara happens to be talking about going from the Bas to the where? To where? Where did the Gemara in effect say Ein Yerusha? By saying Pacha? It's not going to the father. It's not going to go from the Bas to the father. So the Ramban was quick to use that phrase and say, Mali Lebein, Mali Liab, it's all the same Shaila. Comes Rabbi Chanan and says, no. Ev Shaloimar, it's not the same Shaila, says Rabbi Chanan. And maybe that which the Ramban not only ignored, but more than ignored, rejected outright, says Rabbi Chanan, maybe that is the ultimate secret. Maybe that is really the answer to our dilemma from yesterday, with the Yesh Yerusha Ein Yerusha. There is Yerusha B'Knas going from the Bas to a child. There is no Yerusha B'Knas going from the daughter back to the father. Of course, you have to explain logically why should that be so. So comes Rabbi Chanan and refers you to sugyas in Yesh Neichelin. I don't know if he actually spells out the sugyas, but he's assuming everybody learned Yesh Neichelin already. There's a famous story about Rabbi Chanan and Yesh Neichelin. You know the story? One year in Baranovich, they were learning Baba Basra. So they learned Baba Basra. They got up until Yesh Neichelin. So the next year, Rabbi Chanan wanted to learn from Yesh Neichelin to the end of the Masechta. So apparently some of the Talmidim got a little bit upset about that. They wanted to switch Masechtas. They wanted, they said it was too long on Baba Basra. So they were petitioning, so to speak. I don't know how petitions ran in Baranovich, but they were trying to push that they should not learn the second half of Baba Basra. So apparently the way the story goes is a legend goes that Rabbi Chanan walked into the yeshiva the first day of the Zman, and he announced that we're learning a new Masechta. Everyone was all excited, it's a new Masechta. So he said, we're learning Masechta called Yesh Neichelin. And apparently he, every Masechta starts with a box, right, around the first word in the Masechta. Right? Rabbi Chanan apparently drew a box around the word Yesh, and he said, now it's an officially new Masechta. We're starting Yesh Neichelin. Okay, anyway, I don't know where this story happened. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. So Rabbi Chanan knew Yesh Neichelin very well, not just because he taught it, they knew Yesh Neichelin very well. So Rabbi Chanan says, if you look carefully in the figures of Yerusha, you'll come to the realization that the din of Yerusha of a child being Yerusha parent, is not quite the same as other relatives being Yerusha. There is a din of Yerusha, that's true, but there's a second halacha called Kom Tachtav. Kom Tachtav means there's a special, unique relationship that a parent has with the child, that when a parent passes away, the child is not just yerush to nechse ha'av, but the child actually steps into the shoes of the av, almost brakar davur, almost in the literal sense. That the fact that the nechasim goes to the child is a different chalashem. It's not based on the regular din of Yerusha. It's something very, very unique called kam tachtav. If so, but there's a din of kam tachtav, says Rabbi Chanan, then we can begin to understand why maybe these two sugyas are parting ways. When it comes to Chos Yerusha, i.e. the end of the sugya, where the knas is going to go from the bas to the father, that's going to go through the vehicle of Yerusha, so then I understand that's what the Gemara seems in Yerusha, not Shachta of Yerusha. But in the beginning of the sugya, where the Gemara was talking about the knas going from the daughter to her son, which again, at the end of the day, that son doesn't exist. I mean, post the OB of Lamed Tesav Rav, there is no such son. So in Lamed Chesav days, when the Gemara thought the son exists, so the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility. Not there's Yerusha the Knas. Yerusha the Knas is not an entity. But there's Komtachta the Knas. Komtachta the Knas, Ken Zayin, that does exist. That's what Bukharin suggests. The Rishon LeMaisa didn't say it. All the Rishon will give different terutzim, obviously assume that there is no difference in the two. The Ramban actively tells us that there is no difference in the two. And the question is, why would the Rishon so convinced that this Chiluk somehow isn't necessarily a Mukhach? How come nobody else, till Baranovich, till Zayn Bukharin, nobody thought this was a realistic Chiluk between the two? So the Chiluk, we have to really go back to the basic question, really the underlying conceptual question, the spark question, should there be a Rusha, should it not be a Rusha? What do we think about the Shabbat? What would you say, assuming that you don't know anything about the sixth Mahalchim, what would you think the din should be? Should it be Yerusha or not be Yerusha? So what does this most probably have to do with? It's probably just an old throwback to our original question from months ago, namely, when exactly is the Mechaev of Kenas? What exactly happens at the time of the Maisa? What exactly happens at the time of Hamad Abedin? So we saw that there was a whole Mahalach in Rishayim and Acharonim that the Chiv Kenas really does not kick in at the time of the Maisa. The Geneva is not really the Mechayev of Kefil. The Tvicha of Achir is not really the Mechayev of Dalad Vehei. The Shasa, the Ma'anes, the Oynes, the Father, is not really the Mechayev of Knas. Horaya, that's not really the Mechayev of Knas. What were some of the Rayas? Well, number one, Moedib Knas Potter. How come Moedib Mammon is Chayev Mammon Knas Potter? So you see that the very essence of the dinner, Moedib Knas Potter, shows that the Beis Din plays a much more significant role in Knas than it does in Mammon. The Rishalmi, the famous statement of Rishalmi, that a person is not chayav, but takes a day Shabbai. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel knocking out the tooth of Tavi Avda, right? The whole story we spoke about earlier in the year. The fact that there's no chayav, but takes a day Shabbai, how come? If I know for a fact that I broke your window, I'm supposed to pay you, even if there are no edim. If I know for a fact that I stole something, I'm not mechayav to pay you, kefal v'dal v'hei. Why should that distinction be true? So those halachas also may point in the direction that you need a Beis Din to be mechayav. Beis Din has to be Mechayev Knas, and the absence of the Mechayev of Beis Din, there's really nothing here. If there's really nothing here yet, then I can very well understand why what? What Ein Yerusha B'Knas. Yerusha has to be Tofes on something. So it can be Tofes either on at the end, it can even be Tofes on the Chov, that I understand. If somebody broke someone's window and then the Nizek dies, so true, he doesn't have the cash in his account yet, but at least he has a chov. There's something to speak of. There's a chiv there. There's something tangible, intangible. At least it's present. Whereas a knat, nothing happened yet. It's mamish lo dovah. It's mamish adosh lo bali olam in the ultimate sense of the word. So maybe that's the reason, ultimately, why ein yerusha b'knas. If that's the case, then what would the other rishonim be saying? Those rishonim, the Tosfos, the Rav who said it's a machlokes, those rishonim who entertained the possibility that maybe Ken Zayin, maybe yes, yerusha b'knas. Could it be that there's a throwback to the old Bismut? There's a throwback to the old question. If there was some Rishonim who learned that there really is a Chiyuv B'Shas Ha'ones, there really is a Chiyuv B'Shas Ha'Gnev, there really is a Chiyuv B'Shas Tvicha Mechira. Aye, so why is Moedib Knas Potter? So some suggest that Moedib Knas Potter is like a Poiter. The Chiyuv is kind of there, but the Hodah is a Poiter. Aye, so why is it that you don't have to be Yotzei De Shemayim? Who remembers? Why is there no Chiyuv B'Tzeis De Shemayim? Who remembers the other beer? Why is there no chiyuv tzeis dei shemayim? Not because there's no chiyuv there, but what was the description we said? Rabbi Chanan had this idea. It's not. Wouldn't it be called a what? Wouldn't be called an einish. Wouldn't be tayfes hashem einish. The nature of the tashlum of knas is not like mammon that I just have to make sure you got reimbursed $100. The goal of knas is that I have to be nenash. I have to be punished. If I willingly give you the money without Beis Din forcing me, this is Nishkein Einish. That's what, remember, we saw Rabbi Chanan suggested that even according to the Rishami that says that there's no Chiyuv Tzeis Dei Shemayim B'Knas, Tfisa may still work. Remember that? We spoke about this, right? Just because there's no Chiyuv Tzeis Dei Shemayim, there still may be Tfisa. Why? Because the if you hold it to Chisara on the reason why Tzeis Dei Shemayim doesn't exist by Knas, is because there's no Chiyuv, so what's about Tfisa? We didn't talk about Tfisa. But if you hold that the reason why there's no Chiyuv Tzeis Dei Shemayim has nothing to do with the lack of existence of the Chiyuv, but it's purely a technicality because it has to be done ayde kfiya. Knas has to be superimposed, has to be forced, has to be a knas chinuchi by somebody else. You didn't volunteer to have a knas. Remember, right? The guy wanted to volunteer not to come to Minyan for 6 months, right? He's going to pay all the knas up front, right? Remember that? Your pal back from those days. I didn't say that. The Bornstein himself was a pal of his. So those who say that there really is a chiyuv of kenas, it's just that there are technical reasons why might be kenas potter. So those are pointed. There are technical reasons why you're not chayav teis lishmam. It's not called an einish, but the kenas fundamentally exists. Tfisa really works even. So then it would lead us to believe that there would be yerusha b'kenas. So the issue of whether yesh yerusha b'kenas or yerusha b'kenas has less to do with hilchas yerusha and more to do with hilchas kenasas. If that's the case, that the real ikav, the real reason why there's any Yerusha B'Knas is because there's nothing there, so then why should Kam Tachtov make a difference? Why should Kam Tachtov change the rules? If you're going to tell me that the chisaron of any Yerusha B'Knas is somehow, it's a chisaron of Yerusha, that the rules of Yerusha weren't given to Knossos. It's like Knossos is a chiddush, and you can't have Yerusha, and something that's a chiddush, something like that. If you hold that it's some kind of a chisaron of Yerusha, so then I understand Rabbi Chanan's chiddush. That Yerusha maybe no, but maybe Kam Tachtov, yes, maybe Yerusha and Kam Tachtov work differently. But if you're going to tell me that the chisaron is that there's nothing there, so it's hard to believe why the absence of something, why should that change whether the mechanism is Yerusha, the mechanism is Kam Tachtov. Kam Tachtov means you're mamish to the person. That's what it means. It means we can have it in Turkey, either the person's there, you're mamish Kam Tachtov, maybe. It's a tremendous chiddush. That's what Kam Tachtov means. Maybe that's what Bochanan meant. So a couple of them, in all the dust settles, we still have a lack of clarity, not a great surprise, a lack of clarity both in terms of our sugya, 6 mahalchim, 5 in the Rishon, 1 in the Acharonim. And our guess is that this really is part of a whole greater picture, a general evaluation of what Knossos are all about. So by saying, now we got to really go fishing, we got to go searching, start pressing the buttons and look through Shas and see, what should the din be? So forget the super stuff, Lam and Chas for a moment, what should the din be? Should there be Yerusha B'Knas or Yerusha B'Knas? Who's going to bring me a raya? I'm shocked that nobody has brought me a raya yet. I'm shocked that nobody stopped me yesterday and said, Rabbi, what are you talking about? What do you mean Yerusha B'Knas? What do you mean Yerusha B'Knas? It's the Ferish Mishnah. The Mishnah? What? Talvei, that's the first place, the first thing you think of, because you were brainwashed by me to think that Subas and Bavkam are the same as Zech. That's the first thing you think of. Nah, come on. What's the first thing you think of? A Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph on the base. Like, where has everybody been for the last day and a half? Remember when we introduced the sugya, we said this is the bridge between the last sugya and the present sugya. Let's chaza for a second. Open up our Gemaras again. In the first Mishnah, in the fourth paragraph, in the second Ksubis. What did the Mishnah tell us? Lo yispik alamad bedin atche meisa av. She didn't get around to having her mother bedin, and then all of a sudden the father dies. Harehein shel atzma. Right? So she gets it. Okay? Yeah, I skip one. Let's backtrack for a second. Amda b'din atzma l'meisav. If there was an amida b'din already before the father died, the second line of the Mishnah, harein shel av. So there was already hamada b'din. Obviously the father gets it. Meisav, the father dies, harein shel achen. So then it goes b'yerusha to the brothers. Whereas in contrast, lo yispik alav b'din atche meisav. If she didn't get around to having hamada b'din, then harein shel atzma. It does not go to the father, and by extension, it does not go to where? It doesn't go to the brothers. And then, just in case you didn't get that the first time, the Mishnah repeats it in a little bit of a different case. Amda b'din at shalom bagra. If amada b'din took place before she becomes a begeris, harein shalach. But what if meisa av, harein shalachin? Because once the av was zoicha on it already, once it was amada b'din, the father zoicha on it, the father dies, it goes b'yerusha. Lo yispik alav b'din at shalom bagra, harein shalach. But then obviously it didn't go to the father, it goes to her and finished. So Rabbi said, what do you see from this Mishnah? That in a situation where there is no father, father's not eligible to receive the kenas, he's dead, sometimes it goes to Achin, and sometimes it doesn't go to Achin. What does it depend upon? Depends on whether there's a Mar B'din. If there was a Mar B'din, so then it's basically Oiske Paske, then it's Mamanus now. The kenas part is, it's Mamish Mamon. So if it's Amda B'din, so then it goes to the father, the father's not alive, then it goes to the Achin. But if it's not Amda B'din, so there's no father, so it cannot go to the father. And it cannot go to the next address of the sons. It doesn't go to the Achim. By default, it goes to her. Why in the world doesn't it go to the Achim? I don't understand. Just because the father's dead, big deal, let it go to the Achim. What's the answer, Rabbi Isai? Why can't it go to the Achim? Isn't it saying this Mishnah? Isn't it black and white in this Mishnah? Ein Yerusha B'Knas? Isn't that obvious? Isn't that the clear as day? That Ein Yerusha B'Knas? Isn't that the reason behind this Mishnah? So now, wait a second. Ein Yerusha Beknas. So what's the Raiva talking about that the Amoraim weren't sure about this? What's the Taisus talking about that maybe the din is that Ein Yerusha Beknas? What are you talking about? It's Temola in the Mishnah. You know what's Rabbi Chanan saying? Rabbi Chanan saying that maybe they come tachtav there is Yerusha Beknas. What do you mean? The Mishnah's talking about come tachtav. The Mishnah's Temola in Ein Yerusha Beknas. What is everybody talking about? Why did we spend the whole day Shia yesterday, in the first 15 minutes today, if it's the Farish Mishnah? What?
The girl now what? Gets the stuff. There's different meaning that.
Why does the girl get the stuff?
Because if all this happened without a father, then she would be zochah.
But there was a father.
Now
that the father should get it. As if the Mishnah is saying the father gets it, but there's no address to write the check to. So maybe the father doesn't. What do you mean the father doesn't exist? Because he's dead. He doesn't exist. He has children.
Okay, so we're
gonna pick up what you said. So again, our initial reaction to this Mishnah is that, hey, really, it should have gone to the father. Let's say other things, Taka do go to the father and go to the Achid. Of course, they have to be shown and Boshes Pagam goes. What if it wasn't, let's say somebody, somebody was Mazikar, not in the context of Oynes. So where would the money go? It would go to the father. The father's dead. Where would it go? It would go to the Achim. So l'chora, what differentiates our Mishnah from regular Dinim Amoris is the fact that our Mishnah is talking about a Knas, which seems to invoke this principle of Ein Yerusha B'Knas.
If the father died before a mother was in, there was no Knas to go to the father before, but he wasn't Zocha on anything when he was alive.
So what you're saying is that Ein Yerusha B'Knas. You're supporting me, thank you.
There was no Knas for him.
So you're saying Ein Yerusha B'Knas.
But I'm not.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying what the word Ein Yerusha B'Knas means is that the Maisa happened, but we didn't have Amar B'Din yet. So then there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Mainly can't call Yerusha. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thanks.
I don't know if I can help
Adiyah, but you want to say he's on my side. I just won him over.
Maybe we could all be on his side, but maybe they're just from a technical standpoint, right? No, that's what I think. So from a technical standpoint, that the Knas is a concern, but it doesn't mean that there's an Yerusha Harai, that by other things, where there is a creation of the money already, I don't want to call it hope, that it would go to the brother.
But you see, you're telling me exactly, you're also on my team, you're telling me that, you're right, that Yerusha exists, Yerusha works on everything, but Lamai said there's no Yerusha on Knas, basically because there was no Chiyuv to start with. So you're all saying the same thing, it's Gevaldik. The three of us, we're sitting in the basement together. Okay, so Rabbi Sai, unless one takes a step back and asks themselves, wait a second, maybe we misunderstood the principle, the underlying principle of this mission. Maybe there's something unique about the reason why this Knas doesn't go B'Yerusha. And I'll tell you why. There happens to be another halacha tucked away later on in Daf Mem Gimel called Ein Adam Moiris Chus B'Vnosav Levanov. Normally, if I own something, let's say Reuben owns something, when Reuben dies, so everything that he owns, both tangible things, intangible things, let's say Reuben owns an Evet Kenayni. So what does it say in the pasuk? It's Nachaltem or something of Nechem Acharechem. So the Evet Kenayni goes B'Yerusha to the children. Comes in as a drasha. It's Nachaltem Osam Livnechem Acharechem. Osam Livnechem. V'ein what? V'ein B'Noseichem Livnechem. We have to say it 10 times. Tongue twister. Osam Livnechem V'lo B'Noseichem Livnechem. What does that mean? A father has certain zechuyos in his daughter. He has zechuyos in hamaisa yadayim midaraisa. He has zechuyos in hametzias midarabanan. Certain zechuyos that the Torah and the Rabbanan gave a father when the daughter is bevei savira. When the father dies, do those zechuyos transfer to the children? No. Osam levnechem, v'lo b'nosechem levnechem. They don't do it knossos. Osam levnechem, v'lo b'nosechem levnechem. So come a group of Rishonim and say, comes the Ritzvah and says, and comes Tyson and says, that's what's behind this Mishnah. When this Mishnah says that it doesn't go B'Yerusha, the reason why it doesn't go B'Yerusha is not because Knas per se doesn't go B'Yerusha. The reason why it doesn't go B'Yerusha is is that anything that emanates from a schusa abibitoi is not nitan tirusha. That's the gzeres akrosim of some of nechem lov nasechem of nechem. If that's the case, then this sugya that we've been learning in the Flamet Ches, Flamet Tes is not relevant to this Mishnah. Here, we are not talking about a schus of a bas going, a schus that a father has in a bas to go to the sons. Here we're talking about a certain amount of money that the daughter may have gotten. The daughter is entitled to X amount of money. So we're being done now, does it go to the son? We're being done now, does it go to the father? That's a regular din of Yerusha B'Knas, which the answer to that question may very well be, yes, it is Nitan Le'amir, there is Yerusha B'Knas. The Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph doesn't speak about Yerusha B'Knas. That's not because of Yerusha B'Knas. That's because of the special quirk that this particular schus, the schus of a father and a daughter, is only when the father is alive. That schus is not Nitan Le'Yerusha. Not because of the Knas. This has nothing to do. The Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph has nothing to do with when the Chi of Knas kicks in. Does it kick in before? Does it kick in later? Is it B'Chai B'Dei Shema? Nothing. You learned the wrong sugya. It's a special halacha in Zchusa Av and Vitoi, which is irrelevant to Daf Lamed Ches and Daf Lamed Ches. Who's the first person to basically say this? The Rishonim say it to defend the Raiva, to defend the Tais, to defend the possibility that Yesh Yerusha B'Knas. Who's the first person to say it? Rashi says it on the Mishnah. Rashi on the Mishnah says, "Lo we speak Lamed B'Din, Rambinu Lekaman Ein Adam Horish Levenos Chusha Zochla Ter B'Vitoi." Rashi doesn't say in Yerusha B'Knas. Rashi doesn't connect this to Dal V'Hei, to Kefa, to other Knasas. Rashi says there's something very, very unique that's playing out just in the sugi alone. So Rabbi Yisai, we're back to square one. We don't have a convincing Gemara. We have stevers between Lamed Ches, between the two bias in Lamed Ches and Lamed Ches. We thought we had a riot from this Mishnah and came to the realization that this is the wrong sugi. This Mishnah, according to Hefter Hashem, has nothing to do with in Yerusha B'Knas. When you have Amad B'Din, then it's not as chus bito anymore. Then it's mamash dinim upness. Even though the money doesn't come, that doesn't matter. Let's say the daughter goes to work and she makes $1,000 and the father takes $1,000, puts it into his bank account, and then he dies. So that money doesn't go to the children, of course it goes to the children. That's not called chus bito. That's moment. Chus bito hasn't happened yet. Right. But she starts going to work yesterday, he dies. So that doesn't go beautiful to the sons. So after we shouldn't hold the boat to the Pagam, it's a different story. Boshet Pagam, the Chiyuv kicked in. You don't need a Mada B'Din for Boshet Pagam because Boshet Pagam is basically Mominus. So the Rishonim would deny the Hekesh. So they would say, and they deny the Venosa, they deny all those Svaras, the Ramban. So then he would say, that's like money that the father already pocketed. So the father already pocketed the money. Of course it goes to the children. Okay. So we're still searching for Boshet. No. In both the Havamina and the Maskana, it's not going from the father anywhere, it's going from the daughter. Either it's going from the daughter to the son or from the daughter to the father. That Gezeres HaKosov doesn't work. That Gezeres HaKosov only works when it's going from the father to sons. L'vneichem acharecha means that the schus of father as in the daughter doesn't go to the sons. This is neither one of those two cases.
Isn't the Gemara saying that if it goes from the daughter to the father, then if the father died.
No. The Gemara said that according to this tzad, papa schus. That means if it doesn't go to the daughter, the daughter's dead, the daughter doesn't have any children because she can't have any children, so papa knas, it disappears. And it doesn't go shoot back up to the father. Why doesn't it shoot back up to the father? That's not bound by this gesta cross of ain't the morish schus sheyesh levito levnoi. This is daughter to father, not father to daughter. Yeah, father's still alive and well, right? Okay. So do we have any other rayas? So there is a Gemara, a very complicated sugya. I hope everyone saw it. It's a long sugya, not from Beis, going to Beis and Beis. Everyone saw Rabbi Shimon, got a chance to see it. Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan, Bashvasa Pikadon. I put it in the Mamakops, didn't I? Okay, everyone saw the whole Gemara? It's a long, complicated Gemara. So we'll try just to say it outside a little bit. The Gemara is discussing the details of a parasha about the vehicle called Shvasa Pikadon. What's Shvasa Pikadon? A carbon of Shvus HaPikadon? No, what's the case? You don't know the case, I'll talk about the details. What Shvus HaPikadon? What? What? A lie back case. I gave you something to watch for me. and then I ask for your back, and you lie through your teeth about it. Or you have other money in my, I lent you money, you lied through your teeth about it, or you found an Aveda, you stole something. Bottom line is, I have a tvias mamon against you, and you lie about it. Now, you lie about it, and then you feel really bad. And a week later, every Yom Kippur, you decide to come forth into tshuva, and you're moida, right? You're moida that you lied. Not only did you try to steal the money, but you're moida that you lied to me. So now, what does the Torah say? So what do you have to do? So a lot of things you have to do, right? So you have to, first of all, return what you stole, pay for the Zeresh HaGazel, right? What else do you have to do? You have to add on what? A chaymesh. What else do you have to do? You have to bring a korban, right? It's a, what kind of a korban is it? Asham. Anyone say Aizim Karmah this morning? Asham Gezelis. Okay? Asham Gezelis is the first of the Ashamas. Right? It's the din of pain. Karen, Chemish, and Asham. So comes the Mishnah, the Gemara, and elaborates with Afman Bezim, and Afman Sechas Tubes, based on Sugis and Sechas Shluas. So what's the din in the following case? What if I say to you, you're chayev me a knas? I say, you're chayev to be dal behay. That's my tfi against you. Right? And you lie. You say, no, it's not true. You deny, you say, I didn't shech the animal, it's not true. And then a week later, you decide you're true, and you come forth, and you want to do chayz b'tshuva. What's the din? Does the whole parasha shuos ha'pikadon kick in or not? What do you think? Does it make sense that the parasha shuos ha'pikadon should kick in? No. What's the problem? What's the din? So Gemara says, no, shuos ha'pikadon doesn't kick in. You know why? Because shuos ha'pikadon is chayev because you were kaifer. It says in the Chosh, v'chicheish ba'amisa b'pikadon. You were machish. The fact that you denied, that's what the chayev is paying for. The implication is that if you would have admitted right away, so you would have paid the money and finished. You denied it, so you try to get out of paying the money. Your denial is ultimately what the source of your chayev is. And you were nishba the boot. You swore, you denied, you swore derech shvua that you were denying the chayev to pay. So you were mamish machish. The chichesh ra'amisa b'fikadon, that's the chayev of Karen Chaymish Ashen the whole story. If the din Torah was involving a case of what, Rabbi Isai? No? A case of knas, I would say to you, hey, you were tevech ha'moicher. If you would have said, yes, I was, what would we have paskind? You still don't have to pay, right? We would have said, medev knas potter. So my hanilon yakfira. What's the hachosha? Hachosha only means, it's only called hachosha, it's only called the kaifer b'fikadon, if you had the option of being made b'fikadon. When you're in the realm of knas, where there's no such thing as being made b'fikadon, the whole thing doesn't exist, being made b'fikadon. So then what? If there's no such thing as being made b'knas, then you fact you will makish b'knas l'mal of l'mayrid. So you're not going to have to, the whole parsha shos b'fikadon doesn't kick in. That's the background. So it comes to Gemara and says, let's change the case a little bit. Let's say I come to you with the following taina. I say, you maneuver, you disgusting, you stole my animal, and you shechted, and you were tevech, and you were meicher, and I took you to a din Torah last month, and the Beis Din paskin that you're chayav. I want my money back. And what's the guy's response? You're crazy, I don't know who you are. Never met you. It's not true. Does that change things or not? Does that change the psak of Shuos HaPikadon or not? So here the Gemara says it radically changed things, because I am no longer being tevei you what? I'm not being tevei you knas anymore. I'm being tevei you money that was already decided and based it. Part of my tevei is hematicha b'din v'nischayavtadli. I'm demanding you to pay the money that you already found guilty and based, and you're denying that. Now let's say you wouldn't have denied that. Let's say you would have admitted to that. I would have said to you, and you would have said, yes, you're right. What would the din have been? Would we have said, Mayde B'Knas Potter? What would the din have been? No, that's not called Mayde B'Knas Potter. You're not Mayde B'Knas. Once you have a Mayde B'Din, it's been transformed to be what? It's ominous now. It's like regular dollars and cents. What's the difference whether I say you broke my window, whether I say I lent you $100, you bought a bag of potatoes for me, I sold you a car, or Beis Din found you guilty of something that you did 6 months ago. You shechted my animal. Once you introduce hamaraticha medin is chayavtali, then it's ois knas, that's mama. So it's a regular plain and simple shvus apikadon. That's what the Gemara says in the Chumash. That's not the din. That even though everybody agrees that there's no shvus apikadon on knas, the only reason why there's no shvus apikadon on knas is because you don't have the option of being moide. So whenever you don't have that ability to be moide, it's not called hakasha. But if you had the option to be moide, and that would have been mechayiv, because that would have been regular moide b'mam and chayiv, that would have been those badik meidim dami. So then the fact that you're machesh, you're koifer, that is subject to shvus apikadon. So those two dinim are very, very simple. There's no shuas of gadar on kinas. Once you introduce about a vertich bedin, there is. Comes Rabbi Shimon from left field and says no. Rabbi Shimon had a lot to say about kinasas. He spent a lot of time in that cave learning the sugars of kinasas. What does Rabbi Shimon say? No. Don't read the Gemara. Comes Rabbi Shimon and says no. There's no shuas of gadar. Even b'chirei gavna. Why is there no shuas of gadar? So Rabbi Shimon has a special drasha. But it says in the Chumash what? V'kicheish b'amisai v'pikadoin o b'tzumas yad o b'gozel o shikas amisai o matzaveida ma'elum yuchadin shein mamon avkol shein mamon yosei el shein kinas. Rabbi Shimon says, even though I know it's not really kinas anymore, but it started out as kinas. Its roots were in kinas. This mamonus only became mamon because it was kinas transformed into mamon. So Rabbi Shimon, there's a special quirk of Exeris HaKosov. Yotzu Eilu Shein Kinas. It's not really Kinas, but Yotzu Eilu Shein Kinas. It's not Dumya the Pikado, not Dumya the Gezel, not Dumya the Kichesh. It's not Dumya to the four, five, different, six different examples that the Torah delineates when Shvus HaPikado kicks in. And therefore, there's a quirk in Uch Shvus HaPikado. It's not subject to Shvus HaPikado. That's the way the Gemara finally ends. The Gemara has this very, very vague Machlekes Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. And finally, the Gemara here in Ksubis and Shvus explains that the Nekudas of Machlekes is everybody agrees to the basic facts. Kol's man that it's mamish kinas, there's no discussion of vada, there's no shuas apikada, because you don't have the ability to be moida. The inability to be moida, that's a poita from shuas apikada. Once you have hemaraticha bedim, it's no longer mam, it's no longer kinas, now it's mamon. So therefore, the corollary of that statement is, according to the Chachamim, there's a chiv of shuas apikada, chaymish, carbon, etc. And Rabbi Shimon has a quirk, exeris akosav, yaitzvichal, afal pichain, there's no chiv of shuas apikada, because yatsu elo shein. They're not dumb you to the cases in the Torah. That's how the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon plays out. So comes the Gemara in the middle of this whole discussion, finally fighting off Membeis and Membeis, back and forth with Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon, until the Gemara figures out what they were fighting about. The Gemara has a very, very cryptic line. The Gemara says that if you take a look at Membeis and Membeis, first one line is Vareisha. Umodina Loch, this is Rabbi Shimon speaking, L'inyan korban shvua, the Rachmana patur mevikichesh. That Rabbi Shimon, the Amoraim was saying that we even agree to you that Rabbi Shimon says you potter because it's not called dum yada de pikada. Aye, but there was a statement that was said in the understanding of Rabbi Shimon, where the Gemara said at one point that moda Rabbi Shimon ba'mada b'din that's dino kimamon. So says the Gemara, what was the significance of that statement? Back on Membeis and Aleph, the Gemara had a statement that. Had a statement that Rabbi Shimon agrees that Hamad Bedin is significant. Says the Gemara, no. What that means is as follows. Says the Gemara, when did Rabbi Shimon say that Hamad Bedin makes it into Mamanis? L'hayrisha l'banav. That means to be Mayrish the Maman to Banav, then Rabbi Shimon says it's Hamad Bedin is important. So let's backtrack for a second. Everybody agrees there is some kind of a concept called Hamad Bedin. Hamad Bedin takes what started out as a kinas and turns it into mamon. Everyone agrees that such a concept exists. According to the Rabbanon, what are the ramifications of that statement? That there's a chiyuv of shvuas, a pikadon. According to Rabbi Shimon, who denies this chiyuv, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a cause of that negates this halacha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what in the world is the significance of Hamad Bedin taking kinas at the moment? What do the words mean? What's the kid? My nafkamina. My nafkamina. We have a tradition that made the Rabbi Shimon that there's a din called Hamad Bedin. Lagabi what? Lagabi what halacha? What does the Gemara say? Lagabi what halacha? Lagabi Yerusha. Made the Rabbi Shimon that Hamad Bedin is important, Laharisha Aknas Labanov. No, all alarm bells should go off now. What do you see from this Gemara, huh? What? They don't the complicated shot. What do you see from this Gemara? Maybe Rabbi Shimon that Hamad Bedin changes the rules of Yerusha, the implication is obvious. Pre Hamad Bedin, what would the din be? Then what? There would be no Yerusha. If the Gemara has to say that this is the only scenario where Hamad Bedin is important, Lagabi Korban Shvuot is irrelevant to Rabbi Shimon. It's only important vis-a-vis Yerusha, Zeman Frendor, that Lifnei Hamad Bedin, according to everybody, Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbanan, anyway, Ein Yerusha B'Knas. This is Chayk V'lo Yavor. The Gemara knew everybody agrees Ein Yerusha B'Knas. The only thing that could potentially change it is Hamad Bedin. So according to Rabban, Hamad Bedin changes everything, the Gabi, all areas of Halacha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Shmuel said, because it doesn't change, the Gabi Yerusha does change. Who is the first person we read to make this observation? Who was the first one we read to make this observation? Rabbi said. Tosfos says it, right? Tosfos spells out the long Tosfos, not Lamechaz. All the Rishonim say it. You see from this Gemara, how do you explain? How in the world do you explain away this Gemara? Nobody's got an idea. This Gemara should be open and shut. There's nothing to discuss. Do you have any ideas? Can anyone see the Maamar Kamos? Anyone who, just tell me the truth. I just want to know what guys are up to. Who here has reached the point where we're up to in the Maamar Kamos? Maybe that explains why. Okay. So you know what we do? We'll have to put this part of the sugya on hold. We have to say over the Tosfos, Dichri, the Raya. No one saw the Raya yet. So I want everybody on Sunday, and we'll have some time on Sunday, go back to that Gemara and Daf Mem Beis, read the Gemara, read the Tosfos, and we'll continue at that point. Now we'll just talk a little other in Yom. Which was a good one. We just have 5 minutes earlier than we were going to.